Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's interesting how exhortations come about sometimes. We've been studying in Hauraki the end times, various videos from Andy Walton and Amir Safadi. Thank you, John, for that one. And one theme came through to me that sort of made me sit up and take notice of where I was at or should be in this period of the getting close to the end times. And funnily enough, a fortnight ago, Darren Horrell actually brought the subject up in his exhortation when he talked about the watchman who spied a rider coming towards him driving furiously and recognised him as Yehu. And I thought, well, that confirms it. I was sort of heading that way with the exhortation. I'll go with it. And interestingly enough, this morning, with the two readings in Isaiah, we have Israel going through various stages of relationship with Yahweh, of falling away, of calling out, of being heard, and being punished for their falling away. And the second one in the New Testament was about the finality of things, how things are going to be when our Lord comes back and the future. So Darren suggested the watchman that he was talking about that spotted this driver deserved some recognition for his skill. And I thought, well, what are we like as watchmen? What sort of recognition do we deserve, or what sort of recognition should we be aiming for in our role as watchmen at this time? That it is near end times is probably without dispute at this time. I know the churches worldwide, not just Christadelphia, are asking the question, is this the time of the end? And I think even the Catholic Church is looking at the same thing. So I can only imagine what's going through the Pope's mind as he sees the time of the end drawing near. So we, I believe, are called to be watchmen at this time of the end. It's one of the commissions given, is to warn those around us of harm to come. There's a certain pressure on us to do that, because if we don't, those who aren't reached by us, or we don't preach to them, we are guilty of the blood, of their blood, when they are punished. So there's a certain punishment for us if we're not doing our job properly. So for the course of this exhortation, I'd like you to think of yourselves as being a watchman in the accounts that I'm going to cover. Examine how you would feel being a watchman in those accounts. And at the end, decide which type of watchman you want to be. I've done this already and it's uncomfortable, but I can assure you the watchman I want to be is not the watchman I am at present, so I have some way to go. The first mention of watchmen in Scripture occurs in 1 Samuel 14, verses 15 to 17. And it was the time of Jonathan and his armour bearer going out to the camp of the Philistines to see what these uncircumcised were up to. And there was a trembling in the camp, in the field, and among the people. And the garrison and the raiders, being the Philistines, also trembled. And the earth quaked, so that there was an exceedingly great trembling. And the watchmen of Saul and Gibeah of Benjamin looked. And behold, the multitude, the Philistines, melted away and scattered. Then Saul said to the people who were with him, "Count now and see who is missing from us." And when they had counted, behold, Jonathan and his armour bearer were not there. So who were the watchmen, and what were they watching? The obvious conclusion is that they are watching or spying on the camp of the Philistines. They are on the border of the camp, keeping an eye on this raiding host. That Jonathan and his armour bearer weren't seen by them, the watchman that is, and by the Philistines, suggests that as they had to climb up to the camp, that it wasn't an easily accessible part of the Philistine camp. So it was only lightly guarded by the Philistines. And that's evidenced by the fact that there were only 20 Philistines killed by Jonathan and his armour bearer in the space of about 100 metres or so. So, you know, 5 metres per person is a fair spacing for somebody trying to defend a camp. So very lightly guarded. To be a watchman is to observe the enemy, in this case the Philistines, from close quarters, to be able to see what they were doing. And it would have taken some courage to be a watchman and in those circumstances, because being caught would have meant certain death. We read in 2 Kings 17, 7-14, that it was so because the children of Israel had sinned against Yahweh their God, and we're talking here about some of the transgressions of Israel. So Yahweh their God, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh king of Egypt, and had feared other gods and walked in the statutes of the nations whom Yahweh had cast out from the children of Israel and of the kings of Israel, which they had made. So they were delving pretty deeply into idolatry, turning away from the Lord. And Yahweh testified to Israel in verse 13, and to Judah, by every prophet and every seer, saying, turn from your evil ways, keep my commandments, my statutes, according to all the laws which I commanded your fathers, which I sent you by my servants, the prophets. Notwithstanding, they wouldn't listen, but hardened their neck. Now, interestingly, Israel had set up their idols, their Asherah, the poles, everything, in a fairly descriptive place. And in verse 9, the children of Israel tried to do it secretly, and they set their idols up in the city from the Tower of the Watchman to the city. Remember that term, because it comes up again. So by doing this, they had obviously angered Yahweh, and worse was to come. And in this case, the watchmen in the towers, in the cities, they were still there. But it's possible that they didn't see what was going on behind them in the city, because their vision was supposed to be outwards, looking for the enemy and guarding Israel from surprise attack. However, I suspect they knew what was happening below them in the cities. Perhaps they were complicit in what was happening, and they generally failed in their watchman duties by not reporting the city's inhabitants' actions to the commanding officer or to the king. Why I suspect this, I'll get to fairly shortly. So these watchmen either got themselves tied up in the false worship of the people of Israel, or they failed in their duty by ignoring what was going on or failing to report the matter. The result of their failure was Yahweh's judgments pronounced on Israel for their idolatry and falling away from true worship. I also suspect the issue of blood guilt applies to these watchmen not warning the people. The result of the people's idolatry and the watchman's failure, in Kings 17 verse 18, we read, therefore Yahweh was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. However, in 2 Kings 18, we read the account of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, and Hezekiah, now the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign, and he reigned a righteous reign. Verse 6, he said, he joined with Yahweh, and he didn't depart from following him, but kept his commission, which Yahweh commanded Moses. Yahweh was with him, and wherever he went, he prospered, and he rebelled against the kings of Assyria and didn't serve him. And he struck the Philistines to Gaza and its border, from the tower of the watchman to the fortified city. And here we have the same term again, from the tower of the watchman to the fortified city. However, it's the Philistines being struck this time, copping the worst of what Israel could throw at them, from the tower of the watchman to the fortified city. Exactly the same description was what applied to Israel in the previous chapter. Why is that? I believe it's because we're to compare the two accounts. Often words come together to provide a juxtaposition, a way of measuring one thing against another. And the lesson for us is to learn what Yahweh is telling us about what our walk should be like, including that of being watchmen. I said earlier that I believed that the watchmen of the cities when Israel was turned to idolatry weren't always being good watchmen, watching for enemy outside the city walls. For we read in Songs of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 3, that the watchmen who go about the city found me, being Solomon's lover, looking for him. Have you seen him whom my soul loves? And again in Solomon 5, verse 7, we find the watchmen now going about the city. Why aren't they in the watchtowers guarding Israel? So Solomon's lover meets them and asks where Solomon is in the first verse, and in the second, they end up beating her up, or worse, and taking her cloak away from her, seemingly by force. So these watchmen appear to have abandoned their roles as watchmen and have become thugs, roaming the streets and inflicting violence and stealing from people they met. The rule of law was certainly failing under Solomon's rule. It was just one indicator of how out of touch with Yahweh Solomon was at this time, and how his lack of true leadership was reflected in the behaviours and attitude of the normal people, and reflected also in his watchmen. They were ultimately responsible to their king for their actions as watchmen. So their king, Solomon, had totally failed in his duty to ensure the safety of the cities of Israel by lack of proper oversight over his watchmen. In similar vein, Micah speaks of a time of unrighteousness in Israel. Misery is mine, he begins in Micah 7, verse 1. And he goes on to describe some pretty dire circumstances and scavenging for food in the time of first fruits when there was very little to be had. He speaks about the people in quite a negative way. They all lie in wait for blood. Every man hunts his brother with his net. Their hands are on that which is evil to do diligently. Goes on, the best of them is like a briar. The most upright is worse than a thorn hedge. And the day of your watchman, even your visitation, has come. Now is the time of their confusion. I think here the watchmen have basically given up. They become as confused as the people they're trying to guard. For we tell us that in Psalm 127, verse 1, unless Yahweh builds a house, they who build it labour in vain. And unless Yahweh watches over the city, the watchman guards it in vain. And it appears the watchmen of Micah weren't of Yahweh's choosing. And out of this time of unrighteousness, Yahweh stirs his wrath against him and appointing his own watchman instead over Israel. Jeremiah 6, verses 11 to 19, speaks of the wrath of Yahweh descending on Israel. Excuse me, I've just touched something I shouldn't have. I'll get it back to a size I can read and a place I can get to. Hate it when that happens. So Jeremiah 6. Therefore I'm full of Yahweh's wrath. I'm weary with holding it in. Pour it out on the children of the street and on the assembly of young men together. Even the husband with the wife shall be taken. The aged with him who is full of days. The houses will be turned to others. So some pretty drastic punishments coming on the nation of Israel at this time. They were crying peace when there was no peace. They were ashamed when they were not ashamed, rather, when they committed abomination, and they couldn't blush. Therefore they will fall among those who fall, and when I visit them, they will be cast down, says Yahweh. And Yahweh tells them, stand in the way and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is a good way, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. And this is the trumpet of alarm. But they said, we will not listen. Therefore hear, you nations, and know, congregation, what is among them. So this is not just for Israel. This is nations as well beginning to be talked about. Hear, earth, behold, I will bring evil on this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not listened to my words, and as for my law, they have rejected it. They didn't listen to the words of the prophets, the seers, or the watchmen. They didn't hear the sound of the trumpet. They didn't want to hear it. However, this time the watchmen were appointed by Yahweh to sound this trumpet of alarm. Israel chose not to hear it, and have and are being punished for it. Now, out of the dark times of Israel and the accounts of by Micah and Jeremiah, Yahweh now gives them hope, and his watchmen now have a task in the fulfillment of that hope. Contrasting those previous watchmen not appointed by Yahweh, next we have a couple of examples of some amazing watchmen in a time of great hope and joy to Israel. Jeremiah 31, verses 1 to 6 says, at that time, says Yahweh, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they will be my people. So we're talking about a future time. It hasn't happened yet. The people who survived the sword found favour in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause them to rest. And Yahweh appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore I have drawn you with loving kindness. You will be adorned with your tambourines. Go out in the dances of those who make merry, and you will plant vineyards on the mountains of Samaria. Planters will plant and enjoy its fruit, and there will be a day that the watchmen on the hills of Ephraim cry, arise, let us go up to Zion, to Yahweh, our God. So the watchmen have a role different now from that of just warning of an enemy to come. It's actually a role that lifts the hopes and aspirations of their people. And I hope you're still thinking about being the watchman in these stories. Where would we like to be in that? Isaiah 62 goes on to say, for Zion's sake I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest. Yahweh didn't hold his peace by giving them the watchmen to tell them of those things that they needed to hear. He goes on to say, the nations will see your righteousness. This was at a time when Israel was still recognized as being extremely unrighteous, living in their idolatrous ways. The kings will be seen in their glory, and you'll be called by a new name with Yahweh's mouth will name. And he goes on to say of some of the blessings bestowed upon Israel in this time in the future. And as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, rejoices over his bride, in verse 5, so your God will rejoice over you. For, in verse 6, he says, I have set watchmen on your walls, Jerusalem. They will never be silent, day nor night. You who call on Yahweh, take no rest, and give him no rest until he establishes and until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Not happened yet. That's still to come. But it is the hope in the future that Israel and we can still see. Still future, he goes on to say, of some of the circumstances of Israel turning. In Isaiah 52, verses 4 to 9, Yahweh says, my people went down at first into Egypt to live there, and the Assyria oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what I do here, says Yahweh, seeing that my people are taken away for nothing, those who rule over them mock, says Yahweh, and my name is blasphemed continually all day long, therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he who speaks. Behold, it is I. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Your watchmen lift up their voice. Together they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when Yahweh returns to Zion. Break out into joy, sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem, for Yahweh has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. Now the role of watchman changed, from one of anxious waiting for an enemy to one of singing with great joy at the arrival of him who brings good news when his feet touch the mountains of Israel, even our Lord Jesus the Christ. As Israel's relationship fell away from Yahweh through their not even listening to the watchman, and that watchman not even appointed by him, they will be brought back again by his compassion and love when he appoints watchmen that they will listen to and that they will obey. There are Yahweh's watchmen in Israel at this time, without doubt. Is Israel listening to them? Some are, the majority are not, and Israel's punishment is not yet ended. So too with the world. Yahweh's watchmen worldwide are sounding the alarm at this time of great tribulation to come, before that wonderful time of great joy and gladness at the appearing of our Saviour. Are we sounding the alarm as we should? Are we being the watchmen Yahweh has called us to be? Worthwhile examining ourselves in this. Thank you.